Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Verses 107 to 125. So this is Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 7, Ecstatic Emotional States, Bhava. Application of emotional states to different sentiments. Right? Verses 107 to 125. All the 49 bhavas, except indolence, cruelty, and disgust, are applicable to the conjugal mellow. Weakness, apprehension, envy, weariness, inconsistency, inconstancy. Dreaming, sleeping, and dissimulation are applicable to the karmic metal. Discouragement, anxiety, depression, weariness, weeping, stupor, and death are applicable to the pathetic mellow. Can we find another word than pathetic? What does Prabhupada use?
I think it's a sorrow or compassion.
Yeah, like that. They're not pathetic. I mean, it is pathos, but the thing is it doesn't bring out the karuna aspect also.
Yes.
That's the thing. Or just say the pathos, you know, like that. And that has a little broader meaning. But pathetic, just, it doesn't have the... Arrogance, envy, energy, agitation, intoxication... anger, inconstancy, and cruelty are applicable to the furious mellow. Presence of mind, energy, agitation, joy, assurance, cruelty, indignation, intoxication, horripilation, change of voice, anger, envy, contentment, arrogance, and deliberation are applicable to the heroic mellow. So interesting how the conjugal mellow, you take out three,
yes.
And then everything's applicable. Yes. So it's easier to say it that way. Otherwise, it'd be like the whole page.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah.
Yes.
Perspiration, trembling, horripilation, choking. Oh, choking voice. It depends on what it is. Fear, death, change of color are applicable to the fearful rasa. Epilepsy, insanity, despair, intoxication, death, sickness, and fear are applicable to the odious. Paralysis, perspiration, loss of consciousness, horripilations, astonishment, agitation, stupor, joy, and fainting are applicable to the marvelous sentiment. These sattvika bhavas, which depend on the various kinds of histrionic representations, are included into all the rasas by experts in the production of plays. No play in its production can have one rasa only. If in an assemblage of the many bhavas, rasas, styles, riti, and local usages, pravriti, in the production of play, any one of them has varied representation. It should be considered the dominant sentiment and the rest of the transitory ones. Right, so you can have a dominant sentiment and everything else be transitory. But you can't have only one and not the others. It's not going to.
Maharaj, in the Vedic presentation, can we have like a drama, like one-man show?
Yes, monologue.
Yes, monologue. You can. But the point is it still won't just have one sentiment.
Yes.
There may be a prominent sentiment, but all these others will be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let's say someone's making a presentation on... let's say some social issue,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they want to bring attention to the plight of, you know, somebody or something.
Yes.
You know, so then in that they'll bring out the element of karuna, you know, because you have to have the compassion for them and this and that and so many things like that. Same time, then there'll be anger, you know, because of those people who are not like that. And then, you know, then we have to do something, so then there'll be the vira like that. And, you know, otherwise, you know, then we're going to march, and then the odious comes out, and, you know, like this. But then if this and that, then, you know, what will be there for the future for our children? So then fear comes. So they use all these different ones. There'll never be just one sentiment. So depending on how it's moving, you know, then they'll present. But here in the drama, then you're going to, it'll be specifically written that way. You know, so you can't have a one-man, you know, show. But at the same time, it will still have all these different sentiments in it. So the point here is that the prominence in that, you know, where we give the example is then of the karuna. Right? But at the same time as all the other ones come up. You know, let us all get together and let us support, you know, together, support each other, support, you know, then you bring in friendship, you bring all these different things you just do. But it's all based around a main one. So then they have to come back to that at the end. Like that. That which stands on the principal theme of the play and is combined with vibhavas, anubhavas, and vyavichari bhavas is the dominant sentiment, stai bhava. This dominant sentiment should be represented with an exuberance of the sattva, but the transitory states by mere physical gestures. Right. So, in other words, the ones then it'll be very obvious that that's what it is. There'll be a great exuberance. There'll be more things like that. But the other ones, then it's just some gestures is enough. You get the understanding. Does that make sense? You know, so you know, just like if it's a vira, then you'll see them, you know, pull out the sword and yes, and we can do all that. But in other things, you might just say, you know, we have to do something, you know, like that, because it's not the prominent one. Is that? But the transitory states by mere physical gestures, for they are to support the dominant sentiment, and as such should not excel it. Right. So that's the whole thing, is that there's always the thing, what's prominent, no one excels that. You know? Just like the teacher's there, he's teaching, no one excels the teacher. You know? Or the mother is dealing with the child, so no one excels that. You know? So whatever is the main thing, you don't, it's just improper. Right. Does that make sense? Yes.
Sometimes in the place, like if the character identifies himself, he's expert, he tries to dominate by overdoing his part, then it all changes the
way. Yeah, it balance, it doesn't work. So that's why you have to have a director and control it, because otherwise each person thinks that the play can't run without their part.
Yes.
You know? You know, it's like the orchestra, and everything's going on for 45 minutes, and then that guy's there with the little triangle, and one point he goes, ding! And to him, that's what makes the whole thing. You know, which piece you're going to play? You know, the one that has the triangle part? Oh, that one, yeah. So, yeah, so that's why you have a director. Otherwise, then each one will think, no, but this is what I feel. It has to be there. He's coming on. He's making the thing. It has to happen like that. But says, no, but the other things are going on. So only one that can do more than he should is the Vidushak. Because it's funny then. You know, it's something that's not a chivalrous thing, and he'll be, yes, you know, like that. That's why it's funny, because it's out of character. It just doesn't belong there. He can do that, but none of the main characters can do that. Yes.
And he's the only one who's technically, like, beaten up on the stage.
Okay. True. Everyone else, if there's a fight, it's off stage. You know? But with him, he's the only one you can slap around on stage. In the production of plays, the dominant, the sattvika, and the transitory states of emotion, which are supporters of the rasas and which are accomplished through many objects and ideas, should be assigned to the main characters. The rasas and bhavas in plays are thus to be created. one who knows this well will attain the best success in the production of a play. So your main characters, they're going to have all the main aspects. Others can come in and add something. They can bring in a transitory and it'll go, but it'll always be with the main character. Or it'll be in connection with the main character. Like you see sometimes on the side stage, some of the actors are talking about the action that's going on with the main characters. But they're bringing out sentiments that it's still in the context of those main characters. Does that make sense? So yeah. So it's always around them. So because if someone else comes up and it's too prominent, then it can't be there. You have the hero and anti-hero.
Yes.
So there may be something prominent there,
yes.
Because otherwise they're a main character. If they're not a main character, then it should just be a little bit, they're a problem. Mm. But, you know, if they are there so much developed, then they're a main character. But then it has to be that it's them with the hero, you know, and the hero should win,
yes.
Right? Because it's about the divine aspects, and they always win. Even if you see, is that they went to Vritrasura and Vritrasura won, the demigods, but then they went to Vishnu and then they won. You know. So the point is because it ultimately comes back to Krishna, therefore, then good always triumphs over evil. You know, you may establish that there's evil, but then good will be triumphed. Because if evil triumphs over good, why should anybody be good? You know, so these modern concepts, we want to bring out, make it real and all that, all they do is make people have less faith in doing the right thing. You know, less faith in relationships, less faith in putting into that. It's all like this, what does it matter? So it just makes them self-centered. You know, that's the thing. In the name of philosophy, it becomes, you know, like the existential. You know, it's about my existence. It doesn't matter about anybody else's. It's my existence. You know.
We can have the same point when some devotee can say, I don't believe I can go back to Godhead in this lifetime.
Yeah, he says, the point is he doesn't believe it, but it doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
Point is you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. It's possible. Like that. Point is just say that I don't believe I can put in the effort and have the commitment and have the faith. That would be the natural, form of sadhana that would qualify you to go back to Godhead. You know, that you could say. But the point is then others was to know why not, try to give the association, inspire them, and all that. But to say, oh, it's not possible, then it's like, you know, why do we need, we don't need people like this. Go stand out on the road, you know, get yourself, you know, one of those, you know, the boards front and back, you know, and walk up and down the boulevard, you know, like that, and, you know, and tell people, you know, it's like where you have that big circle, you know, in France you come through the gate, you know, there's the big circle, you know, the Arch of Triumph.
Yes, Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, and then after that there's that big roundabout. Go walk around there. Tell them, it's not possible for me to go back to Godhead this lifetime, rock around and, you know, like that, do that, but, you know, don't come to the temple. You know, what's the point? They may feel that, but then it's just a matter of pathos, you know, they're just feeling inept and this and that. But the point is then the natural thing in response to that is to try to import and support and everything like that. That's supposed to be. But if they're convinced and this and that, and it's not a discussion, it's not just a feeling, it's their determination, it's their philosophy. It's like, what do we need that for? Someone may think, oh, I'm so unqualified. That's fine. But if they take it, you know, no, I'm not going to, I know we could go back to God in this life. You know, it's like that, you know, who are you? Right? You know, like you're more powerful than the holy name, or what? You know, like that, so. Briti, having discussed the intricacies of the various sentiments and emotional states, Bharat Muni next describes the various aspects of histrionic representation, Abhinaya, with specific emphasis on the gestures of minor limbs. Okay. Do we have a gesture, a definition of what a minor limb is?
Yes, Maharaj, we'll put it. It's minor limb is basically the head and then the facial, within the face, like the cheeks, nose.
Okay, so it's facial expressions. So why don't we just say facial expressions? Why minor limbs? Is there a taking minor limbs means my fingers or only the little finger? You know, that. Yeah, because that's what I'm looking at, because there's nothing in here mentioning about facial expressions. You know?
Because he put head in along with that. We can say facial expressions.
If that's what it is, why not just say facial expressions?
Yeah. Because the literal translation...
We don't care about literal translation. This is theater. Yes. It's kavya. You know, because that's the way artists are. They don't just they say it so directly. But major limbs means your arms, your legs, your head, right? Like that. So minor limbs means the face. Because I'm looking at this whole time. Is like, where's the facial? Because that's always the thing. Because to me, abhinaya means the facial. But somehow down here, it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's just because, like you're saying, they do these literal translations. You know? And then just ruin it, you know. Let's say. Yeah, it would be like, let's say we had someone who works down at the docks, right? And then he's the announcer for, you know, the latest runway presentation of couture. Yeah. Would it work out?
No.
Makes any sense? Makes any sense? No? No? Makes sense to him. Okay, somebody got it. You know when they do the fashion and they walk down that platform, they call it the runway. And so if you had some guy that, you know, say, you know, yeah, big gross guy, you know, khaki, yeah, you know, like that, and he's the one that's going, well, check that one out, you know, it's like that, that's, you know, it's not going to bring out the fineness that's there. So that's the whole thing, is that this idea of facts or you know, the objective or this or that is so overemphasized that they lose the culture. Because that's the whole point, is he has no culture who translates. Otherwise, why wouldn't he say it properly? You know. Or he has culture in some area, and so he'll mention it there, but in other areas, then they don't. You see it all the time. That's the weakness with these karmis that do translations of Shastra. Is some areas they'll have some culture, you know, because they know Sanskrit, so there must be some Sanskriti, but it's not in all areas. And unless they're from the theater, they know Sanskrit, they're from the theater, and then they translate this, then they might stick more. But there's a good chance that he's never been to a play in his life, you know, or been in one, and so now he translates, and then it's a problem. And that's also a weakness with Monier Williams.
Yes, same thing. So according to what you said, the translation has been done by non-devotees from Sanskrit to English?
Generally. Mm-hmm. Most all these things, because, I mean, what devotees have ever done this? You know, yes, so. Yeah. So we have to go through, and so when we find these words, we have to find them and go back. That's why I'm saying go back and use Prabhupada's terms stuff.
Yes.
Or the Acharyas and Rupa Goswami uses, or others. Because these ones, they don't work very good, you know. You know, like the pathetic. You could say pathos, and that, then you know it's that sad. But pathetic, you say someone's pathetic means it's just like not even worth dealing with. But pathos means it's that feeling that they're feeling the sad or, you know, insufficient or something like this. And then the natural thing is then the other person has compassion. You know, like how do you get parental? Because of the child. Because why do we call it parental rasa? Because the parent, how they deal with the child, how is it? But we saw by technical, I mean, so I only understood this when we went through Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu this last time, is that for the children, that's Gaurav Priti. It's intimate friendship, like that. So they don't have a parental rasa. They have a friendship that's very close and intimate.
That is in the part of dasya.
Yeah, oh, it's within dasya, yeah. It's an intimate form of dasya.
Yes.
But we don't call it that. Yes. We don't call it the intimate form of dasya. We call it parental. So in the same way, that's why then you see acharyas generally say karuna, not the pathetic part. He's pathetic, therefore you're compassionate. So that's why I prefer we use like that. You know, but you can also put karuna or, you know, and put whatever these other, because sometimes they use many words. So then, especially when we're defining all each one of them fully, what's in there and all that, then you could put all the different translations that are used in the parentheses. You know, whatever's the prominent one, but put also the other, so you can see, oh, how it relates. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, they do great in some areas, and some areas are really bad. Because a lot of times it depends on how good Monier Williams was. Right? So being German, they're very efficient, but if theater's not his area, then it's not going to come out nice. But like grammar is his area, then that one will be quite nice.
It's a big work to do.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's why these things are... This course was defined in 84. But, you know, until you know the 12 years of the philosophy,
yes,
it doesn't make any sense what you're supposed to present. So only now, this is the first one that's actually manifest. Is that what it says? Yeah. So like that, then slowly we'll do more. Yes, okay. Chapter 8, Gestures of Minor Limbs. Upanga. Adhyaya Prakashika. If relishing rasa is the purpose of Sanskrit drama, then the tool which is utilized to bring about rasa is abhinaya. The word abhinaya means that which brings the thing to the spectator, or the different ways in which the actors brings the play with its meaning and feelings to the spectator. So abhinaya means the whole thing, right? So the major limbs, minor limbs, you know, so all that. You know, then, because you have the what is it, histrionic. Can we get another word for that also?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is a nice word. Maybe that's just the word.
Because I searched for it. Everybody else also using the same word.
Histrionic.
Then I thought maybe if you have to express the whole part.
Yeah, maybe it's the word. Histrionic. Because it is. It means like you're playing, let's say, Ram. So you're thinking about the history. You know, so we see from Bhagavatam or Ramayana, then what he did, how he stood, what he did. So you want to represent that. So then that representation by how he stands, the facial expressions, the posture, the what he's doing with his arms and legs, that is then abhinaya. The whole thing is abhinaya. Like that. Does that make sense? And so that's then what brings that out. That's where the flavor comes in. So it is the technical, but you have to have the mood and all that. Because some people will just think that it's just technical. Just like, let's say, in music. Someone, you know, you say, oh, someone has good, you know, feeling for the music or good expressing good emotion. Some say, no, it's just a matter of timing. You know, you do it, you make that break there and put it a little late or put it in a little earlier or stronger or this and that. And that's all. It's just mechanics. But the whole point is what they're not getting is why do they do those, that timing, unless there's emotion.
Yes.
So people without emotion who don't know, they're just mechanics, then there's nothing else there. You know, you fix the car, it's just mechanics. There's no emotion there. It's not that I feel like it, so I tighten it a little bit more and I don't feel like it, I leave a little loose. No, this is how much it has to be done. So mechanics can't see that now there's the application of it. So the sandini, they are the sat aspect they can catch, but the chit and ananda, they have no idea it even exists. They think people are talking about it. It's just like, why are they talking about this? So they're even the harder ones to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. At least ones that accept that, maybe you can talk about God, maybe not. But these ones, you can't even talk about emotions, the personal. So it's just like, it's just mechanics. You know, yeah, so you're going to have that. But so then the whole point is when you have that devotion for the Lord, and that then using all these techniques, then that emotion is expressed, and then the audience picks it up. if one's not a devotee, then one may use all the techniques and it may produce a material rasa, but they won't get the transcendental. So that's the point. Now, if you have a great devotee in the audience, he may pick it up, but that's because of him, not because of anybody else. Right? You know, the others did nicely and acted it nicely, so you could tell what they're talking, but he relates that to the Lord. So that's why, then Jiva Goswami, not Jiva Goswami, was it? Oh yeah, it was Jiva Goswami, points out that it's all these aspects. Because, you know, Lord Ramachandra, then you're playing that part, that's empowered. You, as an actor, are doing things properly. The audience is qualified. They, who wrote the script is qualified. You know, it's like Ramachandra, you know, comes out and says, oh, you know, one of the forest, you know, or Lord of the Forest, Sugriva. He doesn't go, yo, greedy. You know, you think something's wrong. You know, something's not right here. You know? And then Sugriva comes out with all his chains and his, you know, the teeth, and he's rapping, and yeah, you know, so you know something's, you know, you got to find this playwright and, you know, send them to Antarctica or something.
It's interesting. It mentions towards the end. Who can call whom, like how they can address, how to address, like, you know, each other. Whole list is given, who can address whom in what way. And one of the one is hello. That is a Sanskrit word.
Oh, really?
Hello. That is, that a female, a lady can use it to address her female companions.
All right. So in other words, the takeover has been going on for a lot longer than we know. Like that. In other words, when you have it to 90% and you're going after the last 10%, then you make it, okay, we want 50%. So then it's, in other words, they're agreeable to 95%. So in other words, already the hello is, everything's being controlled already. That's far out. It's a Sanskrit word, hello.
It's H-A-L-L-O.
H-A?
Yeah, hello.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Well, that, yeah, because locally, then you see, at least before, you know, when you come in India and all that, the other, hello, hello.
Yes.
It was always hello. Because that's a Sanskrit. That is so far out. That's really cool. Yeah, probably just saying that all these things come from Sanskrit. Sanskrit's the original language. So like there's so many things come like that. It's just not... Some acknowledge it. I know when the German scholars first came across it, it was obvious. They just saying this is the mother language. And so they were very inspired. You know, when you find something like that, you go... But because it wasn't in line with the kind of... how you say, the European Christian way of thinking, that, you know, that Christianity is superior and Europeans are superior. Then you see by the, when it, I think that was, I'm not sure when that was, but it, I'm talking maybe 1700s or stuff like that. It was really like, wow. But then in the 1800s, then it went to the background.
And even now it's because of the, in the Germany they teach Sanskrit and all, still people consider, okay, German, if you quote, you know, Sanskrit is the origin of languages, people are still okay, because in German they still...
Okay, so as long as you're saying the Germans say this, it's all right.
Yeah, they still say it, even now.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, because I remember my teacher, and I don't know what grade it was, but it was, I think it was... Yeah, it was something like history of language or something like that. You know, it's just like, in other words, they have nothing to do, so they have to think up things for you know, secondary education to do, like that. And so then, I remember the first thing he said when he opened the class was, all languages go back to Sanskrit. That was the first thing he said. That's the only thing I remember from the class. then after that, for the next 3 months, everything was just taken back to Greek or Latin. They never took it back to Sanskrit. So it was very interesting. Like, I think Bhagisha was going through just all our words and all that, you know, that are in our books and all that, and from the word to word, and shows that he said there's like 700 or more words that you can see directly go back to Sanskrit. You know, like you have tumultuous, tumulo is used in the Gita. You know, things like that. What to do? Okay. Abhinaya, therefore, occupies an important place in Sanskrit drama because if the actor does not express the various emotional states through proper Abhinaya, the audience will not be able to taste the rasa. Right? So that's why it's saying is that this emotion is there, this is the cause of it, and this is how it's expressed. You know, the anubhava. And so that expression, so that means the playwright has to see is it'll only come up if these things are happening. So he has to see is if he wants this emotion to come up, he has to write in these vibhavas. Then they're going to do these anubhavas. Because if that's not all there, it doesn't make sense. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. That's the whole thing. It's a big science. So that's why you see, in Sanskrit drama, it's great scholars are writing drama, not anyone else. Like that. You know. So it's like, you know, you have Kalidas, you know, there's so many dramas. His are famous. And I think there's a few. Abhinavagupta. There's a few other famous Sanskrit dramas. They're not much. I think they fit in one book. Like that. You know, I mean, our own acharyas then have written, you know, so many. But they're all scholars. Because unless you know, yes.
Even in South Indian movies, till 90s, anybody who wrote script,
right,
they were all poets.
Oh.
They had their title, like way to read.
Okay. Yeah.
They are known by their titles. We don't even record their name.
Okay. Huh? And then what happened? They all died, and then.
And then, like, Hollywood and all those mix.
Yes. Yes. Thus, the major part of Natyashastra focuses mainly on the four types of abhinayas, namely angika, physical, vachika, verbal, sattvika, emotional, and aharya, makeup and costumes and material. Yeah, so in the sattvika, that'll have the major limbs and the minor limbs, right? So in other words, it'll have
the... It's in physical.
Oh, that's in physical.
Yeah.
So angika will be there.
Bodily expressions. Sattvika is the mood you're expressing.
Mood that is being expressed that you do through the physical, the verbal. And also makeup and costumes or material. Okay.
Or in one sense, the temperament we say.
So. Okay, because you have to have it, you know what your temperament you're doing, then you match it with the other. Okay, so in the temperament there, then you can express it, and then you'd have to have the right outfit.
It's only expressed by Bharata Muni. The modern people, they don't even talk about it because they don't know. Like, you know, it's more dealing with that, these two chapters on rasa and bhava. If you don't know that, then it doesn't even exist for practical.
Yeah. No, they say, because they depend upon the actor to bring it out.
Yeah.
And then the director, if they can do it, or the director can say something and then the actor can do it, then it works. And if it can't, they'll say they're not the right person for the part, or they don't fit the director, or sometimes they get rid of the director occasionally.
Chemistry, nowadays.
Yeah, it's called chemistry.
Chemistry match.
Yeah. And then it works. So it's basically just by chance.
Yeah.
You know. Bharat devotes 6 chapters, beginning from chapter 8 to chapter 13, to angika abhinaya alone. So angika means the physical. Okay. Angika abhinaya means to convey the meaning. through bodily movements, which includes the detailed study of all possible gestures, postures, movements of each and every part of the body. Okay, so in this chapter, it'll just be the minor, the facial,
yeah,
the upanga. Oh, I see. So anga is the body, and upanga means the facial. Okay. But it just means that, or it also means what you're doing with the hands and stuff like that?
No, those are common major limbs.
Okay. But they're subsets of the major.
And those are not,
I guess, they go together. There's not a lot you can do with your arm.
Because when you say have hand expressions, there are 108 things, and it includes the detail, how you put your fingers, the mudras, and everything.
Okay, so otherwise, and that, okay, so it's the hand expression, and then it's where it is in the elbow and the shoulder and that.
It all goes together, but within the face, but each goes in different
ways. Yeah, you can move it from one to the other. The other ones, you know, it's more, yeah, gross. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the, a lot of times you see in these, you know, especially more kind of traditional in that, like the Sanskrit base, Bharatanatyam and the Kathakali, especially in
yes,
Kerala.
Yes.
And there's a form of Kathakali that's just for, you know, enthusiasts. I don't know the name. But it's more about the facial expressions because they don't move around much. It's a very small stage. And, you know, like the audience is only like 15, 20 people, 10 people. And so it's all about moving from one expression to the next and bringing them out and, you know, energy out and in and over and this and the, all these things. They do it real slow. You know, in Bharatanatyam, they'll do it fairly obvious. You know, it'll be kind of like that, you know, then the next. But this one it'll be, you know, and you see the whole, you know, like this, that whole movement. So only people, because then they know the name of each one and what they're doing and what moves into what. And so, you know, they're having all this intellectual ecstasy there while it's going on, you know. But otherwise, other people, they just see it change. Because that's what it said, it's from one stationary thing to the next. I can say, hey, you know, that's the whole pose, you know, and it has to have all the things to it. And then you say something like that, what? You know, you move to the next. So they're doing that, but it's not as stylized. Bharatanatyam is very stylized, how it moves from one thing to the next. But in the modern theater, they do the same thing. It's just that it'll have a little more flow, so it's more like Odissi. You know, like that. Does that make sense? The current chapter focuses mainly on facial expressions involving movements of the head, eyes, nose, neck, lower lip, and chin. Yeah, because you can't really move your upper lip. So when the British say stiff upper lip, just means, you know, don't move it. You know, so it doesn't move anyway, so. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 3. The sages inquire about Abhinaya. Through your kindness, we have heard in due order everything related to the origin of the emotional states and sentiments. We shall now like to know also what the experts say about the different kinds of histrionic representation. That I don't mind, histrionic representation, I don't mind that. But sometimes it's histrionic as something else. You know, the representation is nice, because then how you're representing the history, and it's about the personalities within the history.
I said I look in the dictionary, you know, English, French, and histrionic in the translation in French is theatrical. Yes.
Oh.
This is the translation, you know, in my dictionary.
Okay, histrionic is theatrical. Maybe that's why they're using it.
Because
the theatrical representation.
We use a lot this term, huh? In the study guide.
Yeah.
Abhinaya, then the translation. Everybody was using that.
Yeah, so then put theatrical representation or something else. Instead of histrionic, put theatrical. Because that makes more sense. Because otherwise you want to take it back. Because then you have the person that you're representing.
Yes.
Like that. Then you're having the Abhinaya, then you have the actor, the director, the actors, and then the audience.
And this go with the topics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works. Their meaning and different subdivisions. Okay. Okay, so then the Abhinaya, their meanings and different subdivisions. Oh, the Blessed One. Oh, the Blessed One, or just, oh, Blessed One? I mean, technically, he is the Blessed One, but... Or if he was, you know, if they were on the east end, then he'd be the blessed one-o. You know, yeah. So you're also to tell us accurately what kinds of histrionic representation, what did we say? Theatric representation, are to be applied to which places or occasions by persons aiming at success. Right? Because they can do whatever they like. But if they want to be successful, then you have to do a certain thing. Just like if you want to cook lunch, then you have to do it in a certain way. You can do whatever you like. But if you want lunch, then you have to do it in a very specific fashion. You know? Verses 4 to 10. Definition of Abhinaya. On these words of the sages, Bharata spoke thus, relating to the four kinds of Abhinaya. O sages, I shall now speak to you in detail so that the Abhinaya becomes properly explained to you. We shall speak of the fact that the Abhinaya is of four kinds. The word Abhinaya is derived from the prefix abhi and the verbal root ni, meaning to cause, to get, to attain, and the suffix ach, attached to these two. As the root ni preceded by abhi means carrying the performances, prayoga of a play, right? Means to attain. So what you want to attain something, so what is used to carry that you attain, obtain, right? To the point of direct ascertaining of its meaning, right? Carrying the performance of a play to the point of direct ascertainment of its meaning. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to perform in such a way that you actually perceive what's being there.
Yes.
So it's not that each one. So sometimes they have also in some of these modern theaters where someone comes out and does these different things. So they have no meaning, and each person sitting in the audience, because they're looking for meaning, right? Because they're sentient living beings, and so they're thinking. So each one comes up with a different meaning. What the play? Oh yeah, it was so significant. It meant this, and the other one. Oh, and I felt like this, and everybody gets a different idea. And they think, yeah, see, we made them think and all that. You know, they could have just stared at a wall also and then would have done just as well. You know, Buddha did this. You know, they're thinking, oh, this is new. Or like Buddha did this. Lord Buddha, you know, he had the lecture of the rose. So at that, he sat there and there were thousands of you know, monks there and they all sitting and waiting. And then he came and he sat down. And then when he was sitting, he picked up a rose. And then he sat like that for the time that would be for the lecture. You know, whatever they discussed for 45 minutes, he just held that like that for 45 minutes. And then everybody's there speculating, what does he mean? The rose is this, that is that, what is he, why is he, you know, and this, and so each one comes up with their own idea. And that's the perfection of Buddhism. So, yes, so that's the point, is these are impersonalistic plays, that they're not about presenting something, improving the quality of consciousness and that. People just speculate with whatever they already have and don't get anywhere. You know, it's just, at least, you know, that there's some cognition, you know, going on, the gears are moving and, you know, something's happening inside their head. And so then maybe that's considered nice when it's just normally it just sits there and does nothing. So then by going out there, there's some cogitation and yeah, ooh, wow, that was great. But the Vedic concept is no, there's a mood there. There's something to be gained from that. The consciousness is supposed to be elevated. And so therefore then you want to go through that. The actors then have to be very expert at this Abhinaya to express it.
Can you relate this Abhinaya with Abhideya?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, in one sense, they're probably all connected.
Yes.
But I wouldn't make too direct, but the point is, yeah, the performance of the play would be there. The prayojana will be that the people's consciousness will be elevated. And the sambandha will be all these different forms of Abhinaya. So in other words, it'll be the difference. Abhinaya itself will be the sambandha. Abhinaya, the drama itself, the screenwriter, the director, the audience, who's qualified that.
Yes.
Then when it's performed, that's the Abhideya.
Yes.
Then when the audience then gets that emotional experience and elevation of consciousness, then you can say, then you've attained the goal.
Yes. Yes.
But it's still the application of the Abhinaya. It's not the Abhinaya directly, because it's just, these are the, how you say, the theatric representations, and these all the technical points that you can use. Right? So it has this technique. Everything has technique. You know, it's like they take the trouble to write it down like this. The modern, they don't. It's all a matter of feeling and association. That's why it's called an art.
Yes.
You know. So it's a social art. While in the Vedic, it's a social science. It's Shastra.
Yes.
Then the art is in applying it.
Yes, it's different.
You know. So in the West, it's either they don't know it, and they don't apply it, or now through association application, now they apply it, but they don't know the technique, really.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? You know, because you can take anything and just get into a thing. Admetatra was once, I think where it was, I can't remember where he was. Maybe it was Atlanta or someplace. This would have been, I'm not sure when, back in, when was that? Maybe in the 80s? Late 80s or something. Somebody was invited over to do some programs and some things there. Might have been Tamal Krishnamurti invited him over, but he was there, and while he was there, he was also invited to a university to speak, and they offered him a, what do you call that? Where you're an associate professor?
Affiliated.
Yeah, it means you come in sometimes and speak and go. They offered him a position as an associate professor. Yes, like that. You know, that officially he would be in that capacity. And that, so he was sitting in, and this is the first time he's been to America and like that. And so he's sitting there in the airport, and he's sitting across from somebody, some lady or something like that. You know, because you sit there for a long time in the airport. And, you know, cause just because they notice each other, he smiled. Then I think before that he had been talking to the lady at the counter. You know, about what to do, this, that. You know, I'm new here. I don't know what's going on. So, whatever. She explained to him all the different things. You just go sit over there, and then we'll wait, and then we'll call you when it's time and everything like that. So then he smiles, and the person doesn't respond. So he kind of thinks, well, maybe they didn't notice. So, you know, he used the first level of, you know, smile. You know, so then didn't work. So he used the second level, you know, kind of like that, you know, like that, and that didn't work. So then he, you know, then he tried the third level, and stuff like this. And then the lady got up, and he went, what's going on? Went over to the counter, and then came back and sat down in a different place. So then the lady from the counter, because he already knew her, she came over and says, you can't smile at people here. They think, they wonder, why are you doing this? What do you want from them? Well, you know, what you know, you're trying to cheat, you know, you smile and then cheat them or something like that. You know, so oh, okay. So, yeah, so you have to, how do we get into that? There was an example.
Direct assignment.
Direct
assignment of meaning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so there's that, you know, it doesn't work for what was going on there. So the word made out of them becomes abhinaya, carrying towards, footnote 18. That which carries the performance forward towards the spectator, bringing out the meaning clearly before them, is termed as abhinaya. Carrying towards, right? So you're going towards the result. So abhideya also points. So within, this would be the common point.
Yes.
Right? So we can see within here is now what's happening. You have to know the field.
Yes.
Right? And the different angas of the field. Right? So in this case, the major is is who's being portrayed?
Yes.
The actor?
Yes.
Right? The screenwriter?
Yes.
You know, and the audience.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Then details of that, then with the actor, there'll be the director, then this and that, then there'll be all these moods, and then how they're portrayed,
yes.
You know, the quality of the audience and all this. So all that then can be applied. When you apply it, then that's the play. Then seeing the play, that's then you get the result of the feelings of the audience.
Yes.
Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's then what you're trying to do. So you see it's the same thing. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan is always the same. But here, now, it's being applied technically. But now, the drama's about Krishna, it becomes spiritual.
Yes.
Drama's not about spiritual Krishna, it's material.
Yes.
So that's the point of aparavidya.
Yes.
It can be used either way. Mm-hmm. So when it's used in service of transcendental, that's called aparavidya. It's not paravidya, mm-hmm. but it's still vidya. But it's aparav. It means non-spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
That's useful in supporting spiritual knowledge. But now if it's just used for the material drama, now it becomes avidya, or ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But the science is the same. So that's why it's a hard position, because the same thing can do both. And so we see is that we'll either do things because that's material how things function, or we just do that which is useful in direct activities of devotional service. But anything that supports it, that's in between, that's apara, we generally tend to avoid. So then those who are, you know, very strict about their, you know, sadhana and devotional service, they can make the mistake where they all the cultural aspects and all these other branches of knowledge are just left because it's all maya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then they'll behave and it won't be so cultured, but at least they're dealing with the essence. Then you have another group where they're just being practical and all that, and so they're just dealing in the material world based on the material world and that association. Though they do chant and all that. But, you know, outside of that those few things of sadhana, the rest of their life is just based off the modern.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, their background, their samskaras and everything.
Yeah.
And so they're dealing with avidya.
Mm-hmm.
So they go from avidya to paravidya.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones just deal with paravidya and no avidya.
Yes, yes.
Right? But at least that's the prominence. While the other one, the avidya, will be the prominence.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vedic system is you're using the aparavidya to serve paravidya.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And so then in this case, you're using what the shastras say and all that to get across this thing in the mood in the audience. And that's their technique, their aparavidya.
Yes.
But when they put too much emphasis on the aparavidya, it becomes avidya. You know, why do we have to be restricted by all that? I feel like doing this and that. No, it's avidya. No, this is the way it's done. This is how you get these things across. Oh, but it's too stiff, it's too formal, and so it's done. Hey, you know. There's always the living theater, you know. Yeah. But you see some of the best actors, even the West modern, some of the best actors, they have a background in Shakespeare. So it'll be very formalized, how everything's done, because it'll be closer to this. Much more stylized, much more exact. And so when they come into then general things, they're just so much better actors. At least they're always there. They go throughout. Others will come up and then disappear. You know, so it's just like that. Or like Picasso, classical training. His expression wasn't classical. But if you know the classical, you can see within it how it is there. That's why it evokes the emotion. But someone else without the classical, and they try to do just the feelings and all that, nobody, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, probably, maybe you could put it on the inside of the stalls and toilets or something, or, you know, like that. You know, where else would you put it? You know, in the area where you throw all the garbage or something, you know, like that. It's just that nobody cares. So they're thinking, oh, no, he just does this and that's fabulous. No, because he knows what aesthetics are. Therefore, he's able to get that, though he's using not necessarily a common medium, but he knows what he's dealing with. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that that makes aparavidya, is that you see its use and you follow that. You know, you don't want to do the full 10 act, there's other ones. You know, like you said, there's the monologue, just a single person doing. You can do those, and those are very nice. You know, different things, like in New York, not sure when it was, I think it was in the 80s, they would, the drama troupe, because now and again they do big performances, you know, for a festival or this, or sometimes on the weekends for the Sunday program. But during the week, then they didn't have anything to do. At the same time as, you know, they're actors, and so they want to use their art. So they would go out and on the street or on the subways and do these little, like, 30-second dramas, you know? They'd be out there and, you know, like the middle of the crowd, busiest time. And then somebody all dressed in a suit and all that nicely, you know, then he starts to, you know, act as if he's drowning, you know? So he's using all the abhinaya of drowning. And people are like, well, what's stopping? And, you know, stop, move back. What's going on? You know, like that. And then someone else from the crowd steps forward and he's taking off his jacket. Oh, I'll save you. Oh, God, don't worry. And they're like, what's going on here? Then he'll go up and he'll get the guy and he'll pull off his coat and say, yes, I saved him like this. And then the guy drowns. Like that. And then either one of them will say, or a third person will step in and say, you know, this is that, you know, we're not the body, like that. So, you know, you have to, you know, you save the soul, not the, so we're drowning in material existence, so you have to save the soul. And, you know, just these little things like that, just bang, they're like, you know, just out of nowhere, and then they catch them. But, you know, so that'll be part of drama. And it's just that little bit like that. So you do that, but also you have the fuller form. So that's the thing, you have 10 forms. So then, and, set.
Yes. This was very efficient.
Yes.
For the public.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So the idea is that the Veda gives all the things, and then you, where you can apply yourself, you know, efficiently, that's what it says, aiming at success, that's where you study, that's where you do. But the point is it's already, what are the methods and what your goal, that's already set.
Yes.
Now, what you can apply your emotion to, you can say, no, but it's too restricting. But that's like saying, oh, cooking lunch is too restricting. You know, I feel like, you know, making a rug, you know, like that. It says, no, but we're making lunch, and we already have a rug. You know, so, but I want another rug. You know, that one doesn't have much color. It says, but then what are we going to eat? You know. So it's where you can apply yourself in that. Okay, go get a job making rugs, and then someone else will cook lunch. You know? So that's the thing, is that this personal sentiment starts to get in the way of the aparavidya, and you just end up with this avidya, this useless stuff.
Yes.
You know? So. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.